Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, yeah.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Dre.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yes, sir. Number one draft pick coming out to you right now. Here we go.
Yes, sir. It's that time, people. Talking sports with the 12 men.
It is that time. Yeah.
Kansas, where y'all at? North Carolina, where you at? San Francisco, wake up.
Even Rob ate his Wheaties this morning. This evening, excuse me. Man, what's up, man? We are officially talking sports with the 12th man. It is a beautiful day. It is Thursday. It is NBA draft day, the 22nd of June, and we are ready to, as Rob said, talk some sports as we do our check-in with all of our cities. But, of course, I'm your host, Andre, joined by my fellow co-host, number one pick in your heart, fellas, is what we like to do. Let's check in with my fellas. First and foremost, Mr. JQ, how you feeling this evening, sir?
I'm recuperating, man, from what I did want to happen here in this draft. But, you know, I'm not super mad at what's happening right now with the draft for the Lakers. I wouldn't have taken ball, but, you know I'm in the minority.
Man, you should have been recouped from that months ago, man, because you knew it was
inevitable.
Hey.
Hey, listen, I can hope, okay?
Keep hope alive.
Keep hope alive, Jesse Jackson, I told you. Rainbow Coalition,
bro.
Baby.
Bro, we said this like 20 times. We said, bro, it's going to happen, man. So
listen,
like...
I was holding on.
Oh,
I told
man.
You, like Jeffrey Osborne.
Okay, well, I mean, we know what we're talking about, but eventually we told you it's going to happen, but you might as well just accept it. You might as well.
Yeah, well,
it's
accepted now, okay? It's accepted now.
All right. Anyway,
yeah.
Rob Ford, what's up, bro?
Got to grow your fro out like Lonzo Ball and get with the program, dude.
Yeah.
Hey, man, if I could grow a fro out, I would have one.
Bruh, you got to be a baller.
You
can now, bro.
Yeah,
oh,
no,
man.
That's not happening, bro. That's not happening.
Let
no
your
days.
Soul glow.
You a big baller?
No,
oh,
no,
man.
No, sir. No, I'm not.
Oh, man. Rob, how you doing, City, man? We'll get to JQ in a quick second.
Doing great, man. Making it do what it do, baby.
All right, fellas, let's talk some sports. Let's start the numbers as always. And you could tell it's going to be an interesting night because JQ did not have his normal fire. He was like, but anyway. If you want to call in and kind of help console your boy, Roderick, call in and console your boy, too. The number to call, it's 424-243-9519. That's the number. We are on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And last but not least, if you go to facebook.com/12thmansports, or if you actually type in Talking Sports with the 12th Man, you will find us in that arena as well. So, so let's kick it off. You know, first and foremost, let's talk about the NBA draft recap. There was a lot of movement kind of happening before the draft, JQ, and, you know, we kind of saw some things here, and this is interesting how I think finally the dust has settled. We're finally here. There's still some moves that are happening right now, but let's get to kind of start with you and kind of tell us your thoughts about the draft recap. Not that I'm putting you in the spot with Lonzo Ball, but so far, what do you think about what's been happening, all the trades and whatnot, sir?
Man, listen, the big one, the doozy, Jimmy Butler going to Minnesota is, I don't think Chicago got enough value in return. I mean,
ooh.
I like LaVine and Dunn and then getting Markkanen, but giving up Jimmy Butler, I think they could have done better. I mean, he still had, I think, 2 years, Rob, left on his deal, or at least a year. I don't know if they maximized that, but you look at Minnesota. Now, with Carl Anthony Towns and Butler – and Wiggins and Rubio, just like, okay, you know, I'm not saying they're going to win at all, but that's a nice, with a good coach in Thibodeau, that's a nice little core that they just established. So, I mean, they're clearly, to me, the winners of the night. I was hoping something similar would happen with the Lakers where, you know, we're talking about a lot of potential in these guys, but Jimmy Butler is proven. If what they gave up, not a ton, in my opinion. The Kings, I like getting De'Aaron Fox. And then at 10, you know, moving back, they passed on Monk and Kennard. And I know that they, I don't know if they could play Monk, Hill, and Fox together. But then they get, you know, Justin Jackson and Harry Giles, and they also passed on Kennard. So they basically passed on choosing between one of those two guys to get lighter versions of those guys, you know, and moving back. So we'll see if that works out for the Kings. I don't know if I'm over the moon about that. And, you know, not to take it all, but Tatum going to Boston, I think he's not a good player, but I think Josh Jackson really did himself a disservice by not visiting Boston and saying it was too late. I think he could have went to Boston if he had wanted to, but he kind of sealed his own deal. And I don't really blame Boston for not taking him.
I'm going to say this too, you know, good calls. I know that Robert's going to touch on this as well, sir, but you know, I'm going to talk about Lonzo Ball real quickly, man. And I want you to kind of like, outside of his dad and whatnot, and what you're getting right now is that, you know, he's got really good court vision. He's going to make everyone around him better. You know, so he's kind of in a situation where he's going to be great at assists, rebounds, steals. You know, good scorer, man. So, you know, from that perspective, man, just don't like get so down on him as far as, you know, his dad from that too. Maybe that was just kind of drafted, you know.
Did you see this fool? After the interview, walking around, throwing his hat into the damn stands and taking selfies with the crowd and talking good stuff to people just for no reason because they was there. Like, off rip, he's doing that. That's what I'm saying. Like, oh, my God. This dude is going to be a handful.
Wesley, I want to. Just got picked by Orlando. Second round.
Oh, there it is. Go ahead, Rob. Mm-hmm. Tell us your thoughts, man. Go ahead, man. I'll kind of hear and maybe talk some sense in the JQ. Go ahead.
Well, JQ touched on it. I mean, you got to like what Minnesota's done. I mean, yeah, I think instantly you're talking about a team that should be in the playoffs. You look at the Western Conference, just got stronger in the Eastern Conference. So if you're LeBron James, man, you might as well just stay in the Eastern Conference because it should be a cakewalk for you to get to the, at least get to the finals every year. And but, yeah, the West just got tougher. I mean, you got an opportunity to build a, you know, in order to be competitive, you got to have at least three stars on your team now. And now you're setting yourself up to, with Karl Anthony Towns, Jimmy Butler, and Wiggins with an opportunity to have three stars on your team, the right role players around them. You got a defensive wizard in Tom Thibodeau coaching your team. I mean, to me, they're a playoff team right now, next season. I mean, I don't know how far they're. But, I mean, they're an instant playoff team just from that big three alone. You're set on the wings with Wiggins and Butler, both really and good athletes. And then you got a premier big man on your team. I mean, that's a playoff team. You look at what the Lakers have done. Everybody knows I hate the Lakers, but getting Lonzo Ball. And I tell you, a guy, I mean, even though Brook Lopez probably I'm going to stay with them for a year. But another quiet piece they got in this trade is Kyle Kuzma, a guy I really like. I think he'll be a really good basketball player. JQ touched on it with Josh Hart, too, getting him as well. But Kuzma and Lonzo Ball, I think Kuzma has a chance to be a really good role player. Obviously, he's not going to start over Brandon Ingram. He can be a really good guy that can help them from a depth standpoint. And if you really want to go big, you can play Ingram and Kuzma together on a perimeter. So you have to like, unfortunately, you have to like what they've done as well in this particular draft too.
Good call. We're gonna console JQ as well too tonight, man. So I'm gonna ask the question too because we talked about a couple of
Malik Monk
happened.
Going 11 to Charlotte. That's a steal too.
That's a steal. Yeah, I can say that too. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Go ahead.
That was my point about the Kings passed on him at 10 to move back when he was sitting there.
Wow.
I know that's an all-tucky
right
backcourt, but I mean, listen, you don't know. The thing about it is, you don't know what Buddy Hield is going to be. The jury is still out on him. So I don't know if I can not take, you know, the best player there to me, Mark, we just touched on, at 10 if you're Sacramento, because I feel like, oh, I've got Hield and Fox, so I can't take him. Like, I don't, you know, I know Justin Jackson is good, and he helped that North Carolina team, but I don't know if he has the upside. He doesn't have the athleticism.
He's a role player.
Yeah, and I think Monk could be a star. I mean, he could flame out. I can see him flaming out and being crazy, but I can see him with athleticism and the way he can shoot that rock and get hot, just being an absolute star. And then you find a way to move Buddy Hield or put him as like microwave coming off the bench, where it might be his best role anyway. So for me, Giles and Jackson have to really play above their pay grade to justify where I think Monk could have been, and to a lesser extent, Kennard as well. That's tough to add in depth versus taking, to me, the best player, because you took another guard earlier.
Yeah, Sacramento just takes another guard in the second round, Frank Mason, the third.
What's up with them taking all these? They're trying to get it right, bro. They're trying to keep drafting.
In the second round. Yeah, but if you guys recall,
three centers last year,
the Pelicans drafted this year, I have always thought Buddy Hield's been a role player in the NBA, not a superstar or not a big-time scorer in the NBA. I mean, he'll have a night or two here during the season where he'll get you 19, 20 points, but he's at best a role player to come off the bench for you. And I think, you know, that was an easy decision when you talk about the Pelicans moving him a part of that package to get DeMarcus Cousins, because that's what he is at best. That's what he's going to be in the league. He's a role player.
Wow, two shots pretty hard, too. All right, let me talk about this. Rob, you were pretty high on Chris Dunn, though, as we talk about the half of Minnesota, too. So, I mean, obviously, Zach LaVine, you know, slam dunk champion, you know, very athletic guy, man. But what kind of happened with him? And we'll talk about that. And I want to talk about D'Angelo Russell with JQ. But weren't you pretty high on Chris Dunn at first when he first came out?
Well, and the Bulls are still very high on Chris Dunn, too. I mean, that's part of the reason why they included him in this package. But obviously, he didn't get a lot of minutes last season with the Timberwolves. He was a rookie, so you still got to give him an opportunity. But coming out of college, you're looking at a guy who's a very good defender, who can handle the basketball, and you still expect for him to be that type of player in the NBA. Will he be a superstar? Probably not, but I think he can be a solid pro. He's going to be a great on-the-ball defender in the league and a playmaker for your team as well. And I think the Bulls, you know, still have some high expectations for him going forward.
Fair enough. I was going to ask this question to you, JQ, and then we're still going to keep talking about draft because that's what's happening right now. If I would have told you that you're going to be getting rid of, you know, D'Angelo Russell after a couple of years in, what would be your thoughts on this? Would you be like, wow, that's crazy, or what?
Well, my first thought would be that he must have flamed out. They traded him that early. Or he was so good they were able to use him as one of those assets that we talk about to get a bigger piece. And right now, you know, I know me and Rob disagree on it. I like Lopez a little bit, and I like the fact that his contract is coming off the books. And not that they won't re-sign him, but not for that money he was making. If somebody else was paying that's great. But the price of getting rid of a bad contract that a prior regime signed is what that was. Is that the price was D'Angelo Russell to get rid of that Miles Dow contract so that you say, okay, I can re-sign Paul George to a massive contract and then maybe lure another free agent if I renounce Lopez for the most part or you know, put that money somewhere else. So I think that's the piece of it for me. I didn't see that coming. That if Russell was moving, that they weren't getting a star back in return as him as part of a greater package. But I think that's what's happening with the price of doing business. And, you know, pardon me, you know, I'll wait for the next segment. I just wonder what's going on back channels with Paul George and the Lakers.
Yeah, so, Rob, will the Lakers acquire Paul George? Because there's hearing a lot of scuttlebutt. I really did agree with JQ. I thought that number two pick would have been dangled, but it looks like they're going to hold on to it and they're going to try to, like, you know, wait until either something else is going to happen with this too. Now, you know, because he's clearly said he's going to be playing with him. So, and they're clearing all that, the trades to clear up cap space to get him. So what are your thoughts on this, Rob?
Well, I think the thing you got to realize, if you're the Lakers, I think with or without Paul George next season, they're not going to be a championship contender. And so I think if you're the Lakers, they're going to say, hold on to the number two pick. Let's wait patiently. And let's see if we can sign Paul George next summer. And I think that's their strategy, and it's a really good strategy. And you got to also realize, too, LeBron James is going to be a free agent next summer, too. I mean, I don't think he's going to go to the Lakers, but I think the Lakers will talk to LeBron first, and then you got Paul George right there waiting, who I think is their who definitely would sign with the Lakers if the Lakers come calling here. So I think that's the strategy here. You keep the number two pick, you get Ball, you go out and get George next summer.
Thank you.
Real fast before I delve into that, there's one team I forgot, and that's Portland, who made that deal with Sacramento. I like Swanigan from Purdue. He's just he reminds me of Draymond, you know, and he didn't have he's got a little bit of the range. I don't know if he's necessarily as athletic or as good of a passer, but at that point of it for Portland, for what that team needs, already being said, the guard position and Zach Collins, I think that's real solid for Portland tonight. I mean, it's not a home run where it's not flashy, but, you know, it's two doubles. And, you know, when you're drafting at those points in the draft and swinging those deals, I think that's solid. So I'll give them credit for that. The thing about Paul George, and there's, for me, is two schools of thought on it. Is Paul George sitting there mad saying, and it goes back to the back channels, if you trade for me, and you give up Ball Randall R. Clarkson after you've already cleared that other space for the second guy to come, and I'm already there on the books, I want to get paid. I need you to trade for me and not waste a year on me. And if you trade for me, I can re-sign and get 5 years on my next deal, as opposed to if you sign me as a free agent, I can only get 4. So does he get mad at that and say, oh, well, you take it for granted that I'm going to come there. You just basically wasted a year. He may be on that mindset. Or he may be on the mindset of, you know, wink, wink with Magic when they ain't supposed to talk, like, hey, don't give Indiana nothing. If they panic and trade you for peanuts for one of those guys for future considerations, or, you know, one of those role players at 27 and 30 and Russell and or Clarkson, then do that deal. Mm-hmm. But don't sell the farm. Let me come there to all that stockpile of talent and let me be good. And I feel like I can make it back being in L.A. So I don't know which way he's really leaning. I haven't heard any rumors about it. But it'd be interesting to see what his mindset is about what's happening right now with the Lakers and what they could have given Indiana to make this deal already if they had wanted to.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was more or less he was just kind of like, hey, don't give me anything from that perspective. That's just me. I have no dog in the fight on that. Did you hear the rumors? And this is for both of you guys. About the Spurs dangling LaMarcus Aldridge. Was that something that you guys heard about too?
I did.
Did you hear it?
Yep, yeah. For a top 10 pick.
Obviously nothing happened, but that's pretty interesting. I wonder if that was what happened in the playoffs. They're just kind of like, hey, they're trying to get something. But I thought that was interesting for sure. I don't know.
Yeah, no, that was definitely based off what happened in the playoffs, I think. Huh. It was like, if we can find we'll do it. But if not, we'll have to rebuild him and build him back up in the Spurs way and make sure he's right next playoff time. But I think that's a direct correlation to his poor play.
Oh, he was
that's
a big
shot
time.
Him to try to get his game. Yeah. Well, he was pretty solid, man. I will say this, man. Not solid. I'm saying, you know, during the season, I will say this. You know, the Spurs remind me of the Patriots, as much as I hate that, and that they always seem to get great value in later halves of the rounds of the draft. Excuse me. So, you know, whatever you pick, like, man, they were actually scouting this player, so you know it's going to fit their system too. So they seem to do always well in the later rounds too. So you would think that unless they had somebody targeted that they're going to do a good job of scouting and whatnot too. So that was kind of surprising just from my perspective, you know. So I don't know if that was kind of a ploy to be like, hey, get your ish together or what. You know, that's kind of my thoughts.
No, I think they were fishing. I think they were fishing to see if anybody would be a taker and say that he would fit better with us, maybe, but a part of it, if he played better, they wouldn't be fishing. But, you know, the same way with Kevin Love going for didn't happen for a Butler, or trying to get Paul George to come to Cleveland, where you put his name out there because he didn't do everything you wanted to do, but you still feel like he's good, he can still help you. But if somebody's going to give you something that you might value a little higher than what he's doing right now for when he shows you, then you jump on that deal, but you just don't give him away, you know what I mean? So I can see where they just put the feelers out to see if it could work out, but they were like, okay, nah, you're tripping. I'm not trading him for that. So they pulled him back, and then they do what they do and good value in a lot of half for the first round.
Speaking of crazy.
Yeah, and I think if you're the Spurs, you're looking at the standpoint of, you know, how horrible LaMarcus Aldridge was in the playoffs this past season. And for the simple fact, you look at the contract that and he's not performing up to that contract. So I think you try to see what kind of cap space you can create seeing what kind of feelers out there for him. I mean, there's obviously somebody in the league that still would value him. So I think if you're the Spurs, you're just putting it out there to see. And but he's not living up to that large contract that he has. And right now it could be crippling the Spurs going forward to try to catch Golden State.
That's just in the playoffs, Rob. You know, I would say he did pretty decent in the season,
Well, hey, you got to do it in the playoffs.
I'm with you. Then let's talk about James Harden. No one's getting, you know what I'm saying? You know, do you get rid of somebody like Harden? You know, he didn't perform that well in the end of his playoff, you know, whatever as well.
Come on, but Aldridge didn't play at an MVP level for the regular season. That's not a fair comparison. Harden was MVP level regular
and Harden
season.
Harden had
Aldridge
one bad
MVP
game.
Level. Yeah, he went horrible. Come on, Dre.
Aldridge was horrible every game.
Oh, man. I tried. This is so – my boy started to reach out to me. I tried. I'm like
– You were building condominiums, man, with them bricks. He was shooting.
Hey,
yeah, it was bad.
So speaking of craziness and some interesting, you know, fish, the Knicks and Porzingis, this is something that, I mean, just a year ago, he was getting booed in New York, and he sat up there and said, I want to change those boos into you know, cheers, and he did it. And now, a year later, this is almost surprising, you know, the fact that the Knicks are, you know, supposedly taking calls. So will he get traded, I guess, is the question, Rob, or is this just like smoke behind the fire here?
Well, I think it's the same thing. You're talking about a guy who was unhappy at the end of the season with the direction of the New York Knickerbockers. And I think if you're Phil Jackson, you've just seen, you know, what kind of feelers out there. I don't think they have any interest or desires of trading Porzingis.
Yes, I
think they just put it out there just to see what kind of interest is out there, what can they get in return. And just because of, you know, the attitude that Porzingis displayed at the end of the season. But I personally think he's going to stay with the Knicks. I think the Knicks made a great draft pick here at the number 8 spot with the kid from Kansas. He's got great length. I think who actually fits the triangle offense as well. You put him with Porzingis going forward. I mean, are they going to be successful overnight? No. But going forward, that could be a great 1-2 combination for the New York Knicks in a couple of years. You got to find a way to get Carmelo. That's the one they should be shopping out of town.
Ron Harper's not walking through that door. What are your thoughts about that, JQ?
Oh, come on, man, not Ron Harper. The thing about it is, you know, I agree
Willis
with Ron.
Willis Reed walking through that door.
Allen Houston either. It just ain't – he's not untouchable. And, I mean, he's a very good young player, but he's not untouchable. And I agree with Rob 100%, and it's really correlated to Aldridge and the Spurs. You see what's out there, and if nothing strikes your fancy and it's not worth it, you just don't do it. And, I mean, that's what it is. This is a business, and if you know you're not right there and somebody's going to overwhelm you with a pick for him and they fall in love with him and make you a Herschel Walker trade or something crazy or a Boston, you know, Nets trade for those, you know, the old three, not the big three, but the old three, then that's what you do. So, I mean – I'm not necessarily mad at that, but Phil Jackson is struggling. You know, the reports of him falling asleep during one of the prospect workouts, you know, and then you put that with the, you know, trading for Porzingis.
I guess he wasn't impressed.
Yeah, I mean, that's – come on, man. But you can't go to sleep, bro. You know, you got to take a five-hour energy or something. You can't be dozing out in front of this dude. That's just – if you want them to treat you professionally during the workout, then you should treat them professionally. You know what I mean? They still out here as employees trying to showcase their skills. Don't fall asleep on a young man. I mean, don't. Why have the workout if that's how you feel about it? So it's just a deeper problem going on in New York. And people say, you know, you talk about Porzingis and his attitude late in the season. I don't blame him. That was full-on dysfunctional. They weren't even talking about basketball. It was all about trading Carmelo every day. And you got to give Melo a ton of credit for handling it like a pro. But Porzingis was probably sitting there like, man, what the hell is happening? This is dumb. I'm out. There's nothing left to be said. I mean, we see how dysfunctional it is from the outside. Just think about how dysfunctional it actually is on the inside. So him feeling like that, I don't necessarily have a whole lot of problem with it. You know, he didn't cuss nobody out. He didn't slap no babies. You know, he didn't do nothing silly. So it is what it is. Yeah. But, I mean, Phil is on one. Not that I'm mad at him for seeing what's out there. Somebody falls in love with him. But Phil is just not don't let that get blown out to the press. You know, like, he's just not doing a good job. And he comes out to the media like, well, yeah, you know, I did. Like, come on, Phil, you know, just have some cloak and dagger to it. Don't just put it all out there and alienate the whole team.
He's still living off of the sixth ring, man. He's living off the rings, bro. I still got this, man. I can do. He's still living in that rare air, man.
He's tripping.
Hey, Rob, I'm going to say this. Just really quick, you know, once the Knicks got rid of your boy, once they banned Charles Oakley, one of the, you know, I knew that was kind of like a whole other conversation too, because that was a whole, that organization franchise is a serious state of dysfunction, man. So I don't know. Like I said, again, it's not me, but it's just not a good look. I do want to talk about, you know, my players, and I'm gonna get my feedback on my guy, but I do want to kind of comment on the Boston Celtics and, you know, your thoughts about how they did. You know, the rich get richer in this instance. They trade down, they acquire more picks, and, you know, Jason Tatum, you know, is this a good move for them? Is that a little more scoring punch? Because they were pretty guard-heavy, but then obviously they added Al Horford. You know, you still got Jaylen Brown. Tell me a little about this, Rob. Is this a good move for them? I mean, getting a really good talent for someone that's already – a team that's already loaded.
Oh, and then it –
well, I think when you look at the Boston Celtics, at some point, LeBron James throne on the Eastern Conference is going to come to an end. And right now, they're positioning themselves to be that next team in the Eastern Conference. When you look at all the draft picks that they're acquiring going forward for the future, if they can hit a home run on Jason Tatum, which I think he's a tremendous athlete, and if they can hit a home run on him,
he's
to pair,
be a problem. They can hit from anywhere.
Jason Tatum, L. Horford, if you can get the kid from Cal, they got a draft last year, to start living
Jaylen
up
Brown.
To that high draft pick, the number
yep.
3%. Yes. And going forward, you still got a lot of draft picks. They're trying to position themselves to be that next team in the Eastern Conference. And we just saw another organization take a few steps back in the East, and that's Chicago Bulls. Jimmy Butler gone. So they really positioning themselves as that next team in the Eastern Conference. They still need some more pieces to be a championship contender, however.
You know, the thing about it for Boston is that they're acquiring all these assets, but in a sense right now they're striking out. And this is why I say that. If you look at the free agents that are available, none of them are talking about going to Boston outside of maybe Gordon Hayward, which I think would be a fantastic gift for Boston. Don't get me wrong.
Crazy.
Jimmy Butler wasn't trying to get his way in there to go with that team with all those picks and assets coming. You know, I don't feel like Paul George, and I think some of that is personal because he's from L.A. He's a Laker fan at heart. He don't want to be a Boston Celtic. I just believe that. And that could be wrong, but I don't think I am. But you talk about the best free agents available. You know, they have Isaiah Thomas coming. They want to lock up. But, you know, Chris Paul is not talking about going there. LeBron James is not talking about going there. So you're looking at them with all these assets, but they don't have a dance partner, right? They don't have anybody where that dude is like, man, Boston got a good team already, and they can pass, you know some of these future picks from the Nets and what they're doing and acquiring to get me, I would like to go there. Maybe I should talk to management if they're on the fence about whether or not I'm part of their long-term plans and they want to rebuild with these first-round picks. They don't have a dance partner. And it's going to be interesting, and you know, I know I'm a Boston hater, but they have a lot of assets. But it's going to be interesting to watch to see what they do, because they can't have all those dudes on the team. You know what I mean? They just can't. So who do you not re-sign? Who do you trade? What do you get back in the trade when you can't get that first-year free agency? Danny Ainge still has work cut out for him, even though he has all those assets, because nobody is knocking down the door to get to Boston, which I find interesting.
Yeah. Cool. We got about 60 minutes left in the show, guys. We're gonna let Rob talk about his team, the Pelicans. Man, how do you think you guys are doing so far? And I know you're getting ready to do your pick right now too. So I know you're kind of anxious and waiting that too. So go ahead, Rob.
Well, actually, this pick the Pelicans just made is going to Charlotte. Dwayne Bacon, Florida State. The Pelicans
Ooh.
Are qua.
Rob.
So, obviously, the Pelicans gave up the first-round pick for DeMarcus Cousins. So,
there's a whole phrase where you went dark for a quick second,
yeah.
too. Say that again. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, basically, as I was mentioning, the Pelicans just drafted Dwayne Bacon right now, but that pick is going to the Charlotte Hornets. And the Pelicans acquired the Hornets' 31st pick and drafted Frank Jackson from Duke. So we'll have to see. Obviously, at best, you know, you're talking about a guy who's going to be a role player in the NBA. We traded the first-round pick for DeMarcus Cousins.
Good trade.
I think the Pelicans are going to have to hit home runs free agency here. You're going to have to keep Jrue Holiday, and you're going to have to get some. You're going to have to get at least another home run in free agency.
You keep Jrue Holiday and get CP3.
Yeah,
you advocate CP3. You can't. I said, but you can't have Holiday and CP3. But you was advocating for CP3 to come back home. Come on, man! They're too small to play together.
No. I didn't say they could play together. You can't keep them. I didn't say we can't get both. You're right.
Okay. Yeah. You can't get both.
No. You can't get both. Now, personally, I think CP3 would be in a better situation with Boogie and Anthony Davis than the situation he is with the Clippers. I don't know if he realized that, but personally, I believe he would be.
Is he in a better situation if he went there as opposed to going to the Spurs? And say the Spurs had to give up Aldridge or Paul Gasol to make room for CP3. Which one do you think, honestly, is a better landing spot for CP3? And I'm just asking. I just want you to be honest. Don't have your Pelican glasses on.
No. Honestly, I would say the Spurs because, I mean, you got Kawhi Leonard on that team, and you would hope that you can pull whatever all-stardom that you still have in LaMarcus Aldridge out of them. But even with he and Kawhi Leonard and just the simple fact of having a coach like Greg Popovich, they're going to put them in some kind of contention there. So the Spurs has a track record. So obviously if you're Chris Paul, I think that would be a little bit more of an attractive situation. But I will say this. I think I do think playing with young Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins will be a better situation than he is now with the Clippers. I think that team with the Clippers is going as far as it can go.
You know what? That's a trick question. I'm sorry, Dre. It was a trick question because I agree from a pedigree standpoint with the Spurs. But you know what? The more I think about it, if he actually was like, I'm going to go back and pair it with Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins, not only just, you know, now you got your alpha dog who's going to lead the team and make them do the right things in the backcourt, and you got those two twin giants up front. We talk about being able to lure free agents, right? So you're looking at those three together. If they decide, you know, they can re-sign DeMarcus Cousins, and they've already got the other two locked up, other people around the league, those role players that people covet, are looking like, you know what, real quiet, like down there in New Orleans with those three, I can fit into that rotation and get some playing time, a little bit of, you know, the same amount of money and maybe make something happen. That's sneaky dangerous if Chris Paul goes to New Orleans, just that fact alone that he's the president of the association for the players, the player association. So he's got a lot of ties to all the players in the league. Him and those two and their ability to go live in New Orleans and party. I mean, it's sneaky. I like it a little bit.
Yeah. Good call. All right, let's go ahead. What were you about to say, Rob? I heard you about to take a pause and say something.
Oh,
Rob.
No.
You good?
No. I have what I had to say on that. Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about my team because we spent a lot of time talking about freaking, you know, Lakers and the Pelicans there. The Hawks caught me off guard because I didn't see the news until JQ busted that about Dwight getting traded here and just, you know, we keep getting players like too late, man. We got Kenny Anderson too late. We get freaking everyone too late, but saw the move and clearly didn't fit our system. Now, granted. When I say that, Bud had to talk about
this. Right.
Okay, that's okay. My second team is doing all right, but
God.
But no, like I said, but it's interesting. But it's interesting because you know, whenever they made the move, you're sure, like, you know, I was talking about this, and I was like, you know, Dwight hadn't advanced his game at all. You know, dude hadn't done anything. Now Joker's talking about shooting threes, which clearly dude was smoking something. But he's gone, and. Tell me about John Collins.
Better stay off of that Atlanta wheat.
Come on, bro. Tell me about John Collins. This is a good move for the Hawks, or the scouting report on him, man?
Well, Rob, you're right. At that point in the draft, you're talking about a guy who's going to be a role player. Yeah, I mean, he's definitely a role player. I mean, you're not talking about a guy who's going to come in here and be a star in the NBA. but could be a solid. I think he's a very smart basketball player, but he's going to be a solid role player for you. I mean, he's not going to be a Dwight Howard or Al Horford for you or Paul
Millsap. I don't want to be Dwight Howard. I don't want Dwight Howard, bro. That's the current state of Dwight Howard, by the way.
And the Hawks just take Tyler Dorsey, shooting guard from Oregon, too.
That's a good pick.
Mm-hmm. Solid second round pick.
You know what? I think you might can just say goodbye to Paul Millsap, though. They're going to play similar, playing the same position. I think you might have, and I think what you're seeing is them getting younger and basically saying we're going to spread the floor and play Spurs East. They don't have a big man, but Dwight Howard didn't fit that mold for them anyway, so they're still on the search for that rim runner and that down-low presence to rebound. But they're drafting and getting a lot of dudes that can switch between the one and the four on defense and come down and shoot the rock. So it might be exciting, but the Hawks are not going to win a lot of games. They to me, have signaled with the Dwight Howard trade. And unless Paul Millsap takes
rebuild.
A nice discount to say, yeah, the rebuild is on in Atlanta. Just prepare yourself.
The rebuild
that's
is on in LA, too.
In the Eastern Conference.
It
that's
is.
Another team in the Eastern, that's another team in the Eastern Conference that's going backwards. And so the East is getting weaker and the West is continuing to get stronger.
You got to go back to go forward, Rob.
They do.
Well, I mean, that's their goal, is to go backwards and eventually go forward. But you're talking about another playoff team that just got weaker.
That's true.
Hey,
you know what, real fast, Dre? Real fast.
Yeah.
I think we talked about it before, is that I think that that's what they should have done. What the way they are currently or were currently, you know, assembled was always to be in that 17th to 21st draft pick, just good enough to make the playoffs but not strong enough to make any noise in the playoffs. So if you can't attract free agents, then you have to get them homegrown. And the only way of sometimes to do that is to be bad and get top picks and keep them and cultivate them. So for Atlanta, I think they went, you know, you talk about the Clippers in the West, that Hawks team definitely went as far as it was going to go, and it's time to do something different.
Yeah. I'm with you. I mean, like I said, I totally understand. I mean, you're not going to, you know, we know that, you know, Paul Millsap, you know, you don't want to get in that bad contract, man, because if you sign him again long term, then they're going to be in the same situation, God forbid, as Joe Johnson. So you've already seen the mistakes in the past, so. Yeah, that sucks, man. Josh, anyway.
I can't believe that
guy's
out of the league with all that talent.
Yeah, he been hanging with Rob too much. That's what happened. So, I actually met him at the mall, man. He was a pretty cool dude, but he was just, like you said, I'm like, dude, yeah, the whole world, man. We just won the dunk contest.
And that's what the problem is. He's been hanging out with you.
I was going to say, he's on that perk. That's
you.
Wrong with Dre.
I saw him one time, bro. I'm not like in the whole area, like hanging out with Rob and stuff like that. We got about 7 minutes.
You messed him up
man.
That one time, man. That's pretty bad.
I was gonna say, damn, Dre.
All I did was say hi to the bro. That's all I did, bro. Come on, man. Let's see here. Let's move on here. And I guess we're gonna talk about some NFL talk here, since y'all can't get right, man. So let's talk about this. The last pick looks like it's going to your Lakers too, your boy, the center, by the way. It looks like he's getting traded to Lakers. So let's talk about this real quick. In that the Chiefs signed Andy Reid to a contract extension. What are your thoughts on this? Good move, Rob, or just more or less like you kind of like where you're going? I mean, he hasn't worn out his welcome so far in Kansas City. Do you think he has the option to get farther than he did with Philly, or what's the move as far as this with the KC?
Well, I think it's one of those kind of, you look at, he's been with 43-21 and I think 4 seasons. He's been a solid NFL head coach for a long time. When you look at his 10-year with Philadelphia and look at his 10-year with the Chiefs so far, he's yet to win the Super Bowl. But when you look at the Chiefs team, you're talking about a team who really hasn't had a lot of elite offensive talent on this team. And so he's been fairly productive, but they've been getting by with good defense, and they've been getting by with guys that can play in the trenches. If you're a Chiefs fan, I wouldn't have a problem with this, because it's going to be hard for you to find somebody better than Andy Reid, even though he's yet to win the Super Bowl. Pressed to find somebody better than him as your football coach at this time. They have to improve on the offensive side of the football. eventually they got to find somebody to replace Alex Smith because he's not going to be a guy that's going to take you to the promised land. He might be good enough to get you 10, 11 games with a good defense, but he's just not going to be that guy that's going to bring you over the top. So they eventually at some point they got to find a way to replace him.
Yep. Go ahead, JQ.
Yeah, it's real simple. He's the white Marvin Lewis because he can't win a Super Bowl, but he's won playoff games. And that's the difference. Mm-hmm. You can win playoff games and keep getting extended. If you keep making the playoffs and lose or don't make the playoffs, you get fired in most cities outside of Cincinnati. But if I'm Kansas City, I'm not really upset about that to all the points that Rob just made. He's a solid head coach. I mean, you can do worse. And so much worse. But who are you going to get right now out on the landscape? You know, you extend him, and, you know, if it don't work out, you give him a parachute that all coaches get at some point in time. But I think it's a no-brainer for Kansas City. You just keep the continuity going.
Keep it going. And finally, let's talk about this last, you know, before we get ready to wrap this up, let's talk about great, interesting call that, you know, I had a good buddy of mine, shout out Eric, he's a huge Raiders fan. So we saw kind of what's happening on the cusp of with Derek Carr. He gets a huge deal, $135 million, I want to say that's if I'm looking at that correctly. Is this, you know, we know that he was like a great young quarterback. So what do you think about this deal, JQ?
I think it's insanity. And I know you got to pay your quarterback,
Whoa.
But every time a quarterback gets – not because he's not good, but to say that he's making make more money than Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, come on, man. He can't be the highest paid player. He's good, but he's not great. You know, he's on the ascension, and you hope he's going to get there. But I don't see that. And it's bad. It's just bad business from almost any NFL team. Once you start paying your quarterback that kind of money, you limit your roster flexibility because then you have to cut – you know, corners and get shortcuts in other positions, and sometimes they get exposed if you play a certain team in the playoffs or on the road to trying to make the playoffs. I mean, I think they'll still make the playoffs this year. Don't get me wrong. But when these contracts like Amari Cooper and some of the other guys and along the offensive line come back up and you got all this money sunk into Derek Carr, then what do you do then? So, you know, it's the same thing that Seattle's going through. When they were able to get to the Super Bowls, they hadn't extended Russell Wilson yet. He was still on that cheap rookie contract. Once you start making that money, you get in trouble. Look at, you know, sorry to say, but Rob knows, you know, that money you pay Drew Brees limits what you can do on that defense that got exposed. You got to pick and choose. And when you pay your quarterback that kind of money, it hurts. And I'm not mad at Derek Carr for getting his money. Don't get me wrong. But for the Raiders, long-term, cap-wise, that's going to hurt.
Haters, Rob, we got 2 minutes and 24 seconds. So you can see your thoughts and get ready to have the OT portion.
Well, when you look at the Derek Carr situation with Oakland, right now the way the quarterbacks are just going to get paid, I actually don't have a problem with the deal. I mean, when those guys get to a certain level, they're going to get paid, and you just, as a general manager, has got to try to make it work with the rest of your roster. As much as I hate the Atlanta Falcons, Matt Ryan has got a big contract. They were able to get to the Super Bowl this past season, and other teams have been able to do it. As well, they just got to be smart with the rest of their roster. But when you have an elite quarterback, you're going to have to pay him, and that's just the bottom line of the National Football League.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the OT portion for it.
Yeah. You saw where the Falcons were before this past year. Just saying.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're getting ready to go into our OT portion. We can't bring this portion of our show to you live. Unfortunately, if you click on the same link on tomorrow, we got more sports to talk about. The NFL, you don't want to miss it. Tune in. Next week, we're going to take the week off. We're going to resume the following week. We're going to be ready to talk NBA free agency and getting you ready for NFL training camps that will be coming up here in the in 2 weeks, people. Good night.
Yes, sir. Good night, good folks. Thanks for listening to us. And I always go Chargers. And we're quite like that. Ingram signing L.A. was a fantastic signing to extend Ingram and pair him with Joey Bosa. That's a good move. That went really under the radar, but that was a solid move by the Chargers.
Go LSU Tigers. We got to win this College World Series.
Yeah. That's my score right there. LSU, Rob. Give me some colors, man. That's my line of Falcon school right there, bro. Hey, man, so we're going to go all in, right? Me and you, Rob. LSU, Rob, all the way in. I'm
cool with that.
Rob.
All right, sweet. So yeah, since it's like a training ground for the Falcons, man, I'm all in. I'm all about LSU, man. So,
I know you
want to
join
man.
The winner
right.
and get rid of that Georgia Tech blue and gold.
I'm not getting rid of Georgia Tech, you know. I'm just saying I got to have a school for the SEC, man. So I'm going to go all in. Oh, man. Oh,
Rob.
Man. Yes, he did. We are officially into the OT portion. what is
JQ? Hashtag savage.
Hey.
Just savage.
We're going to have you talking Cajun like Ed Orgeron.
Oh, Lord.
I got some good food. It's all good. Hey, so, you know, right now the draft is going on. So, I mean, we kind of got through all the topics so far. Is there anything you guys want to kind of discuss as far as what's happening in the week? You know, that I did want to talk about this. I know we're gonna slightly go off subject, excuse me, come back around to the draft. But big news, we didn't talk about this last week in the boxing world, and that Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor are going to get a chance to box. It seems there's both. I guess arguments on both sides as far as if Conor McGregor's going to pull this off because he's going to be representing MMA, and then boxing side, like, well, he's never boxed before, and Floyd Mayweather, he's not going to get a chance to land any shots on Floyd. So, you know, I'm just kind of curious, fellas, is this something that you guys are interested in, or is it you kind of, yeah, yes, you know, or, I mean, I know it's tough to get into boxing because we don't have that elite box like we had back in the old days, or not old days, but back in the day, but what are your thoughts about this? And, you know, you have to spend a lot. I just kind of wanted to get your thoughts because that's what we were talking about. So that's what they were talking about in the week, too, as well, at least last week.
Go ahead, Rob.
You don't care?
I'll be honest. I don't really have a thought one way or the other. I'll let you all
come cares
on
about
that.
That?
Yeah, no, I do. Fair. I care about it a lot. The thing about it for boxing, you don't even have that elite fighter. You don't have that elite stable of fighters where you have – a couple and they rise up and they fight each other, and sometimes another gets the best of them, but they have a trilogy or something like that where, you know, you've got a good stable of boxers, and we don't have a heavyweight, which is definitely killing us. But listen, that's going to be, you know, it's going to kill Triple G and Alvarez, and I hate that because I think that's going to be a really solid boxing match, but you know, it's what the market is going to bear and what people are going to watch. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to find somewhere to watch it or split it with some friends. To see what happens, because Floyd is who he is and Conor is who he is. So I'm going to be tuned in. It's going to be a carnival act for sure because of that, everything you just said, MMA versus boxing. You know, can Conor keep his mindset and not into MMA style because he's used to it when, you know, the bell rings? That I think that's a real possibility. So don't discount that. But, you know, I'm going to pay to see the spectacle, and that's what it is. It's a spectacle, and they know it's a spectacle. But it's a spectacle that's going to make a lot of money.
Yeah, man. Like I said, I mean, not that I'm not, you know, there was other fights you were definitely interested in, but I do think this is good for boxing for sure, man. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, I
it
think,
needs it.
Would you wager, who do you think would pull this off if you had a wager? Do you think it's going to be Conor, or are you going to think Floyd's going to pull this off?
I mean, I think Floyd, because he's got the classical boxing training, the same way I would think Conor would murder Floyd in an MMA fight. But in a boxing match where Conor can't, you know, do floor work and mat work and all that other stuff, you know, Floyd is able to get out. But Conor's got that power. Like, he always gives him a puncher's chance. But, you know, if Floyd is able to still, at his age, you know, to dip and dodge and frustrate McGregor and land his punches and win rounds like Floyd does, I can see him doing that easily.
Wow. Good job. Well, all right, so we're not going to torture Rob anymore, too. So, you know, anyway,
I
got some time, Rob.
I think Bogle just went in late in the second round. Wow, I had him as a first-round pick.
Wow.
Who?
Yep.
Ike Nwobogu from UCLA.
Oh, okay, I got you. Larry Bird.
There it is. All right, let's talk about this, I guess, Rob. So, I'm going to leave the floor open to talk about anything throughout the week, and then we can kind of end the show if you don't have anything else to talk about, since we kind of flew through our topics for sure, man. So go ahead, Rob.
Well, next week, ladies and gentlemen, once again, we're going to be taking the week off, kind of getting slow in the world. We'll resume the following week, getting you ready for the NBA free agency time period, and, of course, NFL training camp. We'll start getting you some previews for the NFL season and previews for the college football season. So we'll start kicking that off here really soon, getting you ready for football season. Good night, people.
JQ.
Yeah, so we had one that we didn't talk about, and I'm, you know, I know my opinion is going to be unpopular, but, you know, Louisville getting the sanctions for the, you know, the hooker scandal. But I'm like, you know, I went to college away from home, as many other young-blooded men have as well. And, you know, and I definitely wasn't no sought-after recruit that was 6'9 that could dunk on four people at the time. So what they was going to do is what they was going to do anyway. Just shut up. They was going to do what they was going to do anyway. But, it, you know, I'm not a Louisville fan, so I have no dog in this race. But there are certain things I think schools that should do that don't make them, like, go to school and, you know, not even really buy them the gifts because they're making so much money off of the kids. But there are certain things, you know, not glossing over the, you know, the drugs and the guns. There are things you got to hold these young men accountable for. But if you are facilitating, you know, the get down for the recruits on the trip, every school does that. They may not hire a prostitute, but, like, they have some chicks on campus that are going to do it anyway because they know they're there and they're trying to get in. So if you facilitate it, I'm like, if they're going to do that, and I've got two daughters and I'm going to train them up not to be those chicks, but if those chicks are out there that want to do it, they're going to do it either way. I mean, you know, really? It's college.
I don't have anything else to add to that, JQ.
I'm trying to stay away from that.
Well, I'm not going to – I totally understand what JQ is saying. I can see it from both sides.
I understand, but yeah.
That's all I'm going to say on that one.
It's just something nobody wants to talk about because it's unpopular, but it's true. You know it's true. Like,
yeah.
Again, if they were supplying a blow, like, you can't give the kids drugs. You know what I mean? Like, you can't have them out acting the fool. But if they at the dorm and they bring a couple of chicks, you know, to turn on some music and dance for them and, you know, get a little wild, they could have done that without the dude setting it up. They could have just let them loose on the campus like, yeah, these dudes are going to play for Louisville basketball. They're going to the Final Four. You know, and they could have went to the bar scene and had the same thing happen. That's what I'm like.
True.
You know, they just
True.
Organized it for them. But if they wanted to, they could have just set it out for them just to let it be known they was there. And the same thing is 80%, 90% going to happen on a safe end. Like, stuff like that, I feel like, you know, we got to be real with ourselves. But there's clearly, don't get me wrong, people listening, there are clearly things that they can do, that they cannot do, that I will be abhorred by and say, don't do that. But I just don't think this is one of them. And then I'll let y'all not be uncomfortable anymore.
No, like I said, we get it because there's hey, meet us here at blah, blah, blah. There could have been a better way how to organize that too. So anyway, as Rob said, you know, hopefully we'll it may be a slow week. Maybe we'll get a chance to sort of do our draft recap, Rob, the following week. I mean, if you want to talk about that as well, but we'll see what happens going into that. I know we'll be right into the first part of July. NFL training camps will be kicking off, so we'll talk about what's happening as far as week two. But so anyway, as always, gentlemen, it's been a great time talking football with you too. Always keep us on our toes, and we'll kind of go from there too. So have a great week off. We'll see you guys not next week, but the following week, and we will keep it going. All right, fellas?
Good night, people.
Good night, folks. Good night.